You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Well, we certainly started on the front foot the new quarter, the second quarter today, the 1st of April. No April Fools, that the JSE was amongst the top performing markets in the first quarter, up 12%, while the US markets delivered on average just over 5%. Really phenomenal considering all of the headwinds still facing the country in terms of a failure to launch in our vaccine rollout, Eskom troubles and load shedding. All of that be damned, as foreign investors apparently still see a lot of value if you believe what went down at the recent Sun City conference. And it's all about globally Biden's American jobs plan. It's going to put corporate America on the hook for the tab as the government creates millions of jobs building infrastructure, things like roads, tackling climate change and boosting human services like care for the elderly. And it certainly seems to be a plan with lots to like about it, except for the big hike in corporate tax rates. Chantel Marks, Head of Equity Research at F&B Wealth and Investments. What are you reading into markets on this 1st of April?
Well, it's actually been a really good day. And on the JSE, we had Prosus and Nasdaq up in excess of 5%. So that certainly helped us. And I see it's green in the US as well. One would have expected a bit of pressure because of the looming increase in corporate tax rates. But from what I can pick up, there's a lot of apprehension out there over whether or not it will actually be able to go through Congress and the Senate, because it is a tricky one. And it seems as if there are even some Democrats who are still a little bit skeptical over the plan.
It's a $2 trillion US dollar plan to really reposition the US economy around much greener themes. And it aims to do that by withdrawing subsidies for fossil fuel companies and hiking the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%. So you've got to weigh off, the trade-offs is obviously increased taxes is going to shave a few percentage points off earnings. But if you are investing in things like roads and energy and bridges, gross fixed capital formation, something South Africa desperately needs, surely that's got to be a net benefit for the broader economy and companies over the medium term.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the multiplier effect of efficient infrastructure investment is quite high. But the U.S. actually has a history of not being very efficient in its infrastructure investment plans, just because of all the red tape around it. I do think that, however, that this is probably the best plan longer term. I think the U.S. really desperately needs to reposition itself, especially after four or five years of Trump basically moving backwards in terms of the E in ESG. So I think this is a good thing for them. I think that they're taking advantage of new technologies that are also being developed in the U.S. is probably a good thing in terms of demand for downstream goods and services. So I think if they can implement it efficiently, and if there's not too much red tape, and if it goes through Congress and the Senate, I think that this could be a really good thing for them. I think the multiplier effect will be great. But yeah, there could be a little bit of short-term pressure and a lot of posturing, or political posturing at least, around this situation.
We hope it isn't a $2 trillion US dollar pork barrel pie either, to your earlier point about inefficient infrastructure spending. Mm. We know all about that here in South Africa. Just wrap up the first quarter for me. The big theme, obviously, higher yields. I think the yield on the benchmark US 10-year rose by about 80 basis points in the first quarter. That's the third largest gain over a three-month period over the past decade. So the belief here is really that inflation is going to return. The question is, how much can the market tolerate before it becomes a negative for equities?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it actually only became a very dominant theme towards the end of February and moving into March, where everyone started becoming concerned over what the increased fiscal spending, very loose monetary conditions was going to mean for inflation. I think that impact remains to be seen, because an argument can be made, and I mean, we've spoken about this before, that the stimulus that's been pushed into these economies are more like emergency funding, right? And then it won't be nearly as inflationary as putting stimulus on top of a growing economy or a thriving economy would have been. The Fed certainly isn't that worried, and they've continued on their dovish tone. So I'd say kind of the theme for the first quarter was inflation expectations on the one side, super dovish Fed on the other. Spreading 19 and the surgence of a second and third wave on the one side, and a vaccine rollout that's been very efficient in the US and really more or less nowhere everywhere else. And my sense is that this is going to continue into the second quarter. It's going to be vaccines versus third and fourth wave, and inflation versus the.
And another theme might be whether or not we see the continued rotation from growth into value, as we've lost the line with Chantal Marx there, because that has been another dominant theme of the fourth quarter. Of course, that growth theme has benefited from low interest rates, and it's benefited gold, it's benefited tech stocks. But as you see the expectation of inflation rise, so you see the expectation of interest rates rising in the US as well. And with that, the opportunity costs of holding various asset classes as well. And it really does feed back into more of a value play than a growth play as well. So I think the expectations of this US economic revival have certainly boosted the so-called reopening trade in recent months. It's fueled rallies that we've seen in shares of banks. We've seen energy companies come roaring back as well. And for years, they've really lagged behind their growth in tech stocks. The Russell 1000 Value Index rose 11% in the first quarter against its growth counterpart, which only gained around 1%. So if this new paradigm emerges, which consists of substantially higher nominal growth and higher yields, I reckon the value trade could probably run for a couple of years. And that's a note from UBS's Global Wealth Management, Mark Heffeli, who is certainly well-versed in these things, so I wouldn't be betting against the resurgence of value. Lower volatility is another one. I think the first quarter marked a much-awaited drop in investor expectations for volatility. The Jefferies Thomson Reuters Volatility Index, known as Wall Street's Fear Gauge, or the VIX Index, recently traded just below 20. That's down from a near record of 85. 0.47, which was just a year ago when the world was going into lockdowns and it was fear and loathing stalking markets. And I think that decline certainly reflects investors' expectations that the recent gains in stocks are likely to stick. Well, we'll have to follow that quite closely as we still trying to get Chantal Marx back on the line. The resurgent dollar, I think, is another one that's got a lot of people scratching their heads. Well, rising yields certainly do help lift the dollar. But we've also got an environment where all of this US stimulus and spending should actually be negative for the dollar. Many were penciling in a bit of a dollar bear market from the beginning of this year, but we've seen the dollar currently near 17-month highs, and some investors are positioning for more dollar strength ahead as well. And that isn't generally good news for the likes of commodities either. So that's going to be another big theme for investors throughout the quarter, as well as inflation, as we were discussing. Another interesting story out today was PPC. PPC up another 20%, and many wondering what's going on at PPC. Well, yesterday they announced that that rights issue is now off the table. They've also sorted out some of that debt overhang in the DRC. So I think Ant Ball and Value Capital Partners, who recently took a big stake in PPC, need to take a bow, because so far it's up off the floor. It was at 50 cents not too long ago. It's now almost at 3 rand. So if you bought in at 50 cents, well done to you. You probably showed far more testicular fortitude than many out there in the market, and enjoy your 550% gain on the former top cement maker in the country. I think Sipaku now holds line or title. And it was also an interesting day for NASPAS. We heard that former Airbnb executive Romain Voog is going to be appointed as the new CEO of OLX Group. And we know OLX is the global classifieds business of NASPAS. It services 300 million monthly users in more than 30 countries. And that is an interesting appointment from Airbnb going into global classifieds. As we know, that is one of NASPAS's more strategic areas of investment, as it invests in food delivery as well. So it'll be watching what goes on with that Deliveroo IPO with great interest. And just a reminder for Easter, Nestle is now using recycled cocoa fruit waste to replace sugar in its chocolate. So it's doing that to ensure that it can tick the right boxes for all of those health and environmentally conscious consumers out there. So if you're going to go and support a brand that's just doing a little bit more than the usual for ESG, then Nestle is certainly doing that. That was The View from the Market, with mostly me and a little bit of Chantelle Marks, Head of Equity Research at F&B Wealth and Investments.